Welcome to the third episode of Solving Puzzles. This program is devoted to both Mizmor Psalm 78 and to the insights we can glean about what Yahweh is sharing with us from Yeshaya Isaiah 25 and 26. There's a lot to learn, so we're going to jump right back in, retracing some of the steps that we had perused previously so that we can move through the commentary from our God in context. So it commences. Please choose to incline and extend your ears to the words of my mouth. Mizmor lyric Psalm 78:1. In other words, Yahweh wants his people to listen to him. He did not ask them to pray to him, which puts religious Jews in quite a pickle because they spend a considerable amount of their time bobbing their heads against a wall that an anti-Semite in league with Rome erected 2,000 years ago. And when they actually listen to another voice, it is of rabbis living and dead. So this is really quite different than what the religious would do. It continues, I will open my mouth in Mashal Proverbs by drawing pictures with words, which convey profound maxims through similes, sometimes poems, allegories, and metaphors. Mizmor lyrics, Psalm 78:2. Now we're going to transition now for a moment, and we'll pick up the 78th Mizmor again, but I would like to share with you some of the insights that can be gleaned from Yeshaya Isaiah 25 through 30, because the prophet speaks vociferously about something that is essential to our understanding if we are going to put ourselves in a position where we're actually listening to Yahweh. He says through his most acclaimed prophet, and so you will say on that day, look now and see Yahweh, this is our God. We have waited expectantly for him. He is delivering us, keeping us safe, liberating us, indeed saving us. This is Yahweh, whom we have anticipated, and we are rejoicing, glad in his liberation and deliverance. Yeshaya 25:9. This speaks of a future time, because there isn't, well, even one religious Jew or political Jew in Israel that would say this today. They're not looking to see Yahweh. Some are anticipating an unknown Messiah. Some are anticipating that Trump is going to deliver them from the onslaught of Hamas. Some believe that Netanyahu is going to lead them to safety and win this war. Some believe that it's the progressives who will wrap themselves in flags of many colors. All would be wrong. And until Israel just embraces this simple truth, look now and see Yahweh, that it's going to continue to be very dire. In fact, over the next 8.5 years, Israel is going to go through the most difficult period of its existence, worse even than the Holocaust, which is being celebrated in remembrance of its liberation from Auschwitz today. Now, for this to occur, for there to be a significant number of Israelites and Yehudim who say, on this day, look now and see Yahweh, this is our God, something profound had to happen, because for the last 3,000 years, certainly for the last 2,700, since Yeshayah scribed these words on behalf of Yahweh, there haven't been any Jews that would even say Yahweh's name. They erased his name from their lives. They will not ever reference Yahweh as their God. They are not anticipating his return. And that is universal among Jews. And since that's universal and has been so for 2,700 years, something profound had to change for this to be so. And Yahweh explains this throughout his prophetic testimony. And he says that there will be a Gentile, a Nakri, an observant foreigner, the man from Edom, his coal voice, a Bashar, a herald, who will reintroduce his name to his people. And without that, this prophecy could not be fulfilled. We have waited expectantly for him, which means that a period of time has transpired from expectation to realization. Previous statement, look now and see. This is Yahweh, our God. We have waited expectantly for him, and he has delivered us. He has liberated us. He has saved us. Again, this is only possible if Yahweh does what he has promised, which is to inspire and empower and enlighten and enable someone to speak on behalf of his people, to awaken them from their many millennia of stupor. This is Yahweh, whom we have anticipated, and we are rejoicing and glad in his liberation and deliverance. During this day, they will sing this song. In the land of Yahudah, our city has been empowered and is strong, becoming a place of salvation, protected and fortified. Yeshayah 26:1. This further indicates that something profoundly important has happened. This individual who has reacquainted Yisrael and Yehudim with Yahweh's name and has told them the exact day that he's going to return, of which there's only one person in the world over the last two decades who has done these two things. Surprise, surprise, he's the fellow talking to you right now. So I have told you emphatically that God has but one name, and it is pronounced Yahweh. And I have proven it over and over again, particularly in An Introduction to God, Volume 1, where you will find absolute proof that Yahweh's name is pronounced, as I am sharing it with you now. And throughout the 35 books that sit on the shelf at yadayah.com, which I am now presenting to you through these blogs, one of the things that you will learn is I am emphatic also about Yahweh's timing. I have deduced when Adam and Chawa were booted out of the garden. I know when Abraham and Yishak ascended Mount Moriah as the dress rehearsal for Pesach. And then when Dod returned in his second life to fulfill the Moed Mikre, as on the exact date that he foretold, when he as Geborel, God's most capable and competent man, arrived in Jerusalem to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim in year 4033 CE. And therefore, I know precisely when he will return, which is on the day of reconciliation, Yom Kippurim, on the 2nd of October, 6:22 p.m. as the sun sets in Jerusalem. And 2033. Without this information, Israel is not in a position to anticipate Yahweh's return, nor to call out to him by name, nor to know that he is liberating them from themselves. It is only through these books, through these blogs that I am providing for you that this is known. During this day, they will sing this song. And the reason that this is important is that they are in Yehuda, that they are in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem from Yara, which is the root of Torah. It means source of teaching and guidance. On Shalem, reconciliation. It is the place that Yahweh will deliver salvation. It says here in the next statement, but I have been telling you, God makes it abundantly clear that there was no Yehudim, no Jew, no Yehud, no Yisraelite available to reintroduce him to his people, to explain the timing of these events. And so he chose to communicate through a goy. And well, the very fact that you're listening to this program means that you have invited me into your home and you have already opened the doors and the gates and are receptive. It is essential that the rest of Yisrael and Yehuda do the same. The prophet was inspired to say, open your gates and doors so that the correct and vindicating goy, wa goy sadak, the goy who is right, who is trustworthy and valid, who has been observant, shamar, and who is trustworthy, may enter. Well, that's a lot for Yeshaya 26:2. First of all, God's saying, open your homes, open your towns, open your cities, open your communities to a goy. Because this goy is correct about God. Because this goy will vindicate you before your God. Because this goy will tell you who your God actually is, Yahweh, and the process he used such that you can be right with him too. And he will tell you when every important moed mikre and every important act between the time that we were escorted out of the garden to the time that we will be invited to return to it has and will occur, so that you can be among those who are looking for Yahweh, who have anticipated his arrival, and who will be in Jerusalem on this day. And that is because this is no ordinary goy. This is the goy of whom Yahweh spoke hundreds of times throughout the Torah and prophets. Yes, indeed. He has spent 23 years learning to be correct regarding Yahweh. He is the righteous goy. He is the valid goy, who has been observant. That is the entire method of being able to make these pronouncements, to lead you back home, to reintroduce you to your God, is having been observant. In fact, one of the titles that is afforded to the role I'm playing is Nakar, Nakri, in making it personal with Yahweh, first presented during the dedication ceremony for the house of Yahweh's name, called the temple, by Solomon when it was completed. He said, be observant, Yisrael, because your Nakri comes to you. Nack remains observant foreigner. God says specifically that I am trustworthy. The reason I'm trustworthy is that my testimony is consistent with Yahweh's testimony, and Yahweh is reliable and dependable. That's quite a thought, isn't it? You know, having spent all of these centuries trying to keep the goy out, telling you, don't follow the ways of the goy. He's saying, now open your doors and let this goy into your home, into your hearts, into your mind, into your cities, communities, and towns. Because he's right. Right about the thing that means more than anything else in the universe. He goes on to say, thoughtful, inspired, and motivated. Well, that would all be true, Yetzir. Creative, inclined to reason, hardworking, and purposeful. Boy, my wife can attest to that. She's known me now intellectually through correspondence for more than 15 years. We've known each other as a couple for, well, just now over 7 years. And she knows that I get up before the sun and that I go to bed long thereafter. And that all of that time, I work at a single thing, observing the words of Yahweh, so that I can present them to you as accurately as is possible, and then share the insights that can be gleaned from them, so that having been inspired and thoughtful about his words, you will see that I am entirely motivated to share them with you. Thoughtful, inspired, and motivated. Upheld, supported, and steadfast. Yeah, well, inspired Yeshaya in the 11th chapter of this very prophetic tome to reveal that a choder would branch out of the old olive that was Yisrael as a sucker grow up from the abandoned roots and from the fallen stump in the line of Dod, so that he, inspired by Yahweh's seven spirits, emboldened, enlightened, empowered, taught how to use both disciplined discernment and how to make the connections necessary to understand. So that in the time remaining, from the time that he was called by Yahweh to do this, to the time that you are now listening to these words would be 23 years, and to the time that Yahweh returns, 32. Thoughtful and inspired, motivated, upheld, supportive, and steadfast. You watch over and protect the one, not the three, not the two, not the five, not the 12, not the thousand, the one. Just as Goy was masculine, singular, so is the one. This is not uncommon for Yahweh. In fact, it is exceedingly common. Yahweh spoke through Moshe when Aaron and Miriam said that they could speak for God too. Yahweh shut them down immediately and said, no. No, you don't. When the rabbis claim that they speak for God too, he shut them down as well. There, throughout the prophetic text of Yeshaya, the first 10 chapters are all an attack on religion, particularly Judaism. When it came time to affirm the covenant, to write of its fulfillment, Yahweh chose to speak through Dod. And now it's time for the third and final Zoroah. And Yahweh has said that he will communicate all of this through the one. So open your gates and doors so that the correct and vindicating the right goy, who has been observant and is trustworthy, may enter. Thoughtful, inspired, and motivated, upheld, supportive, and steadfast, you watch over and protect the one who is completely devoted to reconciliation. Shalom, shalom. Mm-hmm. Your companion while seeking to restore the relationship. And that is what we have done these past 23 years. This is what we will continue to do. Even past the time that Dodd returns with Yahweh. Indeed, he is with you. Always and forever, trusting and relying upon Yahweh's eternal witness and restoring testimony. Ba Yahweh Ad. He is a restoring witness. He is a herald of the eternal testimony. He is the one who has reintroduced Yahweh's name. And he is with Yahweh every step of the way. They are a collaborative effort. We're in this together on your behalf. And it is the reconciliation of Yisrael that we strive, because there is no return, no homecoming, no family reunion, no fulfillment of Yom Kippurim in your 6,000 Yah without reconciliation. It is our commitment. Yeshaya 26, 3 and 4. The way of this correct one, Lahasadak, of the one who is right and vindicating, is honest, it's fair, it's in complete agreement. You have made it possible for the direction and the teaching of the one who is right to be straightforward and on the level. I could not come to you, speak into this microphone, or look into this camera and enter your home and speak in this way until I had invested the 23 years to learn the truth about Yahweh, to put the whole puzzle together so that you might not only understand it, see the picture that God has painted, but more importantly, walk into it. Make yourself part of it. Benefit from it. Enjoy it. Be among those who are anticipating Yahweh's return, knowing that he is the one who will deliver you from yourselves. Yes, he is straightforward and on the level. Even when he makes a mistake, he goes back immediately to correct it based upon what he has learned by being observant. And even that, in this way, Yahweh wants Yisrael to know that this goy was able to deduce the truth, put the entire picture together, every piece of the puzzle correctly to represent the entire story using the prophetic witness that has been there for 2,500 to 3,500 years that every scholar and sage has missed. It is to say, why did you neglect Yahweh all this time? Why did you run from the truth all of this time? It is also to say, you want verification that what I am telling you is correct? Look at the prophetic testimony that Yahweh has stated regarding it. Everything I convey to you was revealed by Yahweh between 2,500 and 3,500 years ago. It is all validated through Yahweh's prophetic record. And wouldn't it be interesting for you to know that the year I started was the year that the Dead Sea Scrolls were first published, so that I could correct the Masoretic text and reveal this message from the oldest manuscripts. And so as a result, boy, there's that name again. And it isn't Hashem, and it isn't Adonai, and it isn't Yahweh. It certainly isn't Jehovah. It isn't Jesus or Christ. Yeah, but it certainly isn't Allah, and it isn't the Lord. What it is Yahweh. And sadly, Yehudim, Yisrael, you have erased Yahweh's name from your life. Even now you will go to the nth degree to deny it. Where has that got you? You know, after 3,000 years of making the same mistake, you think somewhere along the way, some enterprising lad would say, why are we doing this? It is not working out for us, and it's clearly against Yahweh's will. Because he said, I want to be known as Yahweh forever. That is the only name that I wish to be recalled. So as a result, Yahweh, we confidently wait, anticipating these benefits by way of your misfat, exercising good judgment regarding your resolution. This again, all of this time, no one has properly explained what misfat means, and it wasn't hard. One of the things you learn very early on, if you have an open mind and you are disciplined and skilled in the procedures you use to comprehend, yeah, I would call it chokmah, is that there are hosts of Hebrew words where a very common term is preceded by mi or ma, the two most common Hebrew interrogatories. And they suggest that whatever follows is something we should ponder, that we should question, that we should inquire about, consider the implications of it. And in this case, it is shafat, a very common Hebrew word. Shafat means to judge, to make valid decisions, to exercise good judgment, and thereby resolve disputes. And so as a result, we confidently wait, anticipating these benefits by way of your mishpat, exercising good judgments and resolving disputes. Regarding your name, your Shem, which isn't Hashem, regarding your Torah, which isn't a Talmud, which isn't law. Torah is defined by its verbal root, which is the same verbal root that sits at the introduction to Yerushalayim, Yara. It means the source from which guidance and teaching, instruction, and direction flow. Your name. You know what's interesting too about Yahweh's name? Every aspect of Yahweh's name is defined in two words. The first of those is the verb that Yahweh told Moshe and through him told us that his name was based upon. You know that verb? Surely you know the verb, right? He told Moshe that the verb upon which his name was predicated is, was, and always will be, the Hebrew word for is, was, and always will be, Haya. Haya tells you how to pronounce the Yod and the hay and the Iowa. Means that there's only one letter now to pronounce correctly. And this declaration of Yahweh's name was found in what book? Oh, the Torah. There it is. And how do we get the O sound in Torah? From the wall. Mystery solved. Teaching has its benefits. Your name explained because of your Torah, and for the pleasure and satisfaction it brings our souls, such that this is what we desire. Can you imagine how different that is from religious Jews today, stuck as they are in the 18th century? You know, open your gates and doors so that the correct and righteous goy who has been observant and is trustworthy may enter. Fat chance them saying that. Thoughtful, inspired, and motivated, upheld, supported, and straightforward and steadfast. You watch over and protect the one who is completely devoted to reconciliation. Most Jews don't even know that their relationship with Yahweh is estranged. Well, I don't even know Yahweh, so how would they know the relationship with him is estranged? But it is, and he's made that very clear. And so we're trying to resolve that. Indeed, he is with you, always and forever, trusting and relying upon Yahweh's eternal witness and restoring testimony. The way of this correct one is honest, it's fair, it's in complete agreement. You have made it possible for the direction and teaching of the one to be right, or who is right, to be straightforward and on the level. Yeshaya 26:7. And so as a result, Yahweh, we confidently wait, anticipating these benefits, by way of your mishpat, exercising good judgments, and thereby resolving disputes regarding your name and your Torah, and for the pleasure and satisfaction it brings our souls, because this is what we desire. Yeshaya 26:8. With so much to share, so much to learn, and now with so little time, my favorite prophet, Yeshaya, asks, through whom will he teach and then make openly known the means to exercise good judgment and become aware of the relationship? He told you the answer. Were you listening? Through whom will he teach and then make openly known the means to exercise good judgment and become aware of the relationship, which means that you will first have to walk away from religion. And through whom will he provide the ability to understand bien, this Hebrew jewel of a word that explains that comprehension is a function of making the proper connection between things. And so through whom will he provide this ability to understand this message? Those who are being weaned from milk and who have been taken from the breast. Yeshaya 28:9. Are you ready to grow up? Are you ready to mature? Because the upcoming harvest, May 22nd, 2026, at the commencement of the time of Jacob's troubles, is of standing and mature grain to be there with us. You will need to feast upon what I'm sharing with you. To the contrary, it is instruction after instruction. The terms of what is being offered and the conditions of what is expected. Line after line, in another language, a little guidance from one location and more teaching from another place. Yeshaya 28:10. I love it when Yahweh affirms what he has asked me to do and then indicates that what I have done was exactly what he anticipated and foretold. My approach has been instruction after instruction. Anything that I could share with you that helped direct your life back to Yahweh, I have done. And I have focused on the terms of what is being offered and the conditions of what is expected in return. What I want you to know is what God is offering you and what he expects in return from you. Oh, line after line. 30 lines per page. 650 pages per book. 36 books. And now we have moved past all of that, and I am the living embodiment of Yahweh's book. Coming into your home, into your lives, and sharing them openly with you. Obviously in another language. Why would Yahweh, after all this time, want to communicate in another language when he chose Hebrew? You know? Well, let me explain it to you. Because the language of Hebrew, which was actually reinstated shortly after 1948, it was Yiddish that was spoken amongst most of the Jews and Europe, plus the language of the whatever the land that they were living in. And Hebrew was a language spoken by very few. And you had the words of the Torah, you had the words of the Babylonian Talmud, which were Aramaic, but you know, a somewhat related language. And you had Yiddish, and then you had the advancement of civilization, which required English, because English is not only the lingua franca of our time, but because of America's being the land really of opportunity and invention, so many of the inventions of our day have English names. So that's part of it. Because with the shading of Hebrew terms by rabbis in particular who have so much influence over the culture, they're being misled. I don't use their transliterations. I created more accurate ones. I do not use their definitions. I have shown that mine are much more accurate than theirs. And so it is important to present the language correctly, but also to translate it and translate it into English. Why English? Because more Jews speak and read English than any other language, including Hebrew. It is the lingua franca of the world, and particularly of the enlightened, the receptive. And that is why I'm bringing this program to you as a translation of Yahweh's original Hebrew text in English. Line after line, in another language, a little guidance from one location, more teaching from another place. And this too is important. I could have done what I was asked to do many times, and now with there's a mini rebellion that was afoot, and their condemnation of my approach, and they know exactly who I am because they've been with me along the way, was that I didn't translate the entire Torah, but instead translated some from here and some from there, and that I was as interested, if not more interested, in sharing guidance from each of the locations. Now, I've translated the majority of the Torah. I've translated the majority of Yeshaya, Isaiah. I think 90% of it. I have translated something from all of Yahweh's prophets. And, well, if you write 36 books, they average 650 pages per volume. Well, that's a lot of translations. And my translation style is unlike any other. I put in bold the key elements that God was conveyed in an amplified format. And then I put the generic form of the word being translated in a parenthetical so that you could copy and paste it into any search engine to validate that my translation was accurate. And then if that translation needed further elucidation, I would add to the text in a standard typeface more insights regarding it. No one has ever taken this approach before. And then after each rendering of Yah's testimony, I would write commentary. I would share with you what it means, what you can learn from it, how you can apply it to your life. It is the guidance from one location and another, and using Bien to make the connection so that we might understand, that has made it possible for the books that I have written to present thousands upon thousands of previously unheralded insights that are profoundly important to your life. Most of them never considered previously. The last 23 years of my life is summed up in 2210, not for me, for you. In a short period of time, less than, 8.5 years from now, as we are in the early days of 2025 and Yahweh is returning with the Dode in the early fall of 2033, the Messiah's return is therefore imminent. And after the Shavuah and the Teruah harvest, there will be a mortal remnant of the children of Yisrael. And they will only have 10 days to come to their senses and to be prepared to exist in Yahweh's presence. They must be afforded reasons to disassociate from Israeli politics and Judaism and to begin a relationship with Yahweh, whom at this moment, some of them are just now receptive to knowing. All the while, progressives and communists, the religious and the political, the conspiratorial and the patriotic, particularly the militaristic, including every remaining Christian, Muslim, Haredim, must all be removed. And they will at this moment. Those being saved from them, and to a large degree from themselves, will need to know how to properly observe and anticipate the events of Kippurim. And I'm here to tell you, there'll be no twirling chickens involved. Just saying. What's actually going to happen on Teruah is really interesting. Because of the events of Teruah, Yahweh has, from the very beginning, even from the creation account, indicated there would be two men, which he calls luminaries, through whom he would fulfill the Moed Mikre. And one of those two men is speaking to you. His name is Yada. And he's going to serve as the Adam HaParah on the Shabbat, the Saturday of the day called Yom Teruah, not Rosh Hashanah. If you're celebrating Rosh Hashanah at that time, you are not going to benefit from this. But if you recognize that the actual name of the day from Yahweh's Moed Mikre is Yom Teruah on the Shabbat, the Saturday, which is a September 24th, 2033, to the backdrop of a full solar eclipse, the Adam HaParah, the man from Edom, is going to offer his life on behalf of the remaining remnant of Yisrael, as it is foretold in Numbers 19, with the sacrifice of the red heifer, which is a fulfillment of the dress rehearsal that Eliyah, who will be the master of ceremonies, that's why he's being brought back, did 2 millennia, 888 years previously, when he renounced the religious and political leadership of Israel back then. And also, of course, there was a bull, there was water, there was fire, just as there will be on this day. And as a result of what will transpire, those who oppose Yahweh will be annihilated, just as happened on that day. And those who embrace what is happening will benefit as the adulterous woman of Numbers 5. They're going to be purged of the religious and political guilt, such that Yisrael is ready to be betrothed to the returning Messiah and King, though David. There's a lot going on, and this is what Yahweh wants you to know about this day and this time. And so, purged of religion, Yehudim will be celebrating in a very different way. With the Talmud gone, this will be Yahweh's first opportunity to present his Torah to his people in a way that they will understand and respond appropriately. In fact, it is on Yom Kippurim, when Yahweh returns with Dot, that he is going to write, literally write, a copy of his Torah teaching and guidance inside of every one of his surviving children. And that is why they're opening up their homes in anticipation of this, to this goy, something they would never otherwise consider. The only way that God can encourage you to listen to what we have to say is to tell you about it 100 times in his prophecies, so that when you hear it, so when you read it, so when you reaffirm it, you will recognize the creator God of the universe, the God of Abraham and Yitzhak and Jacob, is speaking to you through him. And he wants you to listen. Without this song being sung, without Yashaya's explicit endorsement of the Choder, the Bashar, the Kol, the final Zeruah, and especially after Jews have been harassed by Gentiles for a millennia, particularly under the religious trash of Christianity and now Islam, you would have been otherwise hesitant to accept Torah teaching from the last witness. So as these infants now grow into adults, they become part of the standing grain that can be harvested. God is telling us that something, someone, needs to be teaching them. And that is not going to be, they cannot continue to be suckling babes. Yahweh is putting his people on notice that there is a lot for them to learn. And there is a very short period of time for them to absorb these instructions and directions, the terms and conditions, if you will, line after line, that must be properly translated and explained in the language known by Yehudim at this time. As is the case with every question posed by one of Yahweh's prophets, Yashaya knows the identity of this witness and teacher. In fact, Yashaya is the man responsible for writing the textbook on how to be a Choder, and more importantly, how to respond to him. He knows that there will be a final and third Zeruah, and that the first was Moshe, the most important was Dod. He is aware of Yahweh's Nakri and speaks often of him. And that is where this gets really interesting, because saw and ka, the words in Hebrew that were repeated in the previous statement, both have a light and dark side. And while they are perfectly suited to describe the contents of the books that I have written as Yada Yahweh, to know Yahweh, those stubbornly singing the sour notes will do so to the very end, striving as progressive and religious Jews. They will chafe at this assault on their credibility. The prophet continues to share these inspired words from Yahweh. For indeed, with foreign lips speaking, a currently unfamiliar language, in a future foreign tongue, he will continuously speak to these particular people and this family, to whom and to show the way, the benefits of the relationship, he is actually and actively expressing all of this on their behalf. This will provide spiritual tranquility and contentment for those seeking to be nourished and to recuperate. This is the means to find relief, but many will still be unwilling to listen. Therefore, the word of Yahweh will be for them nothing but blah, 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 worthless filth and futility. Just a bunch of commandments, a drumbeat of endless rules, nothing but one line after another of meaningless gibberish, a little from one place, a little more from another. As a result, they will walk accordingly, and they will stumble and fall. In the end, upon their asses, they will be scrutinized and broken. They will be ensnared and taken away. Yeshaya 28:13. It's always an alternative. You can be with Yahweh and engage in the relationship, or you can be with the rabbis and be religious. You can know what Yahweh conveyed to you and benefit from it. Participate in the covenant. Attend the invitations to meet during the Mikre. Know your God's name. Know his son's name, the Messiah's name, Dod, and what they collaborated on for your benefit. Or you can live with the blah, blah, blah and the meaningless gibberish and the drumbeat of endless rules. You can stand with Yah or stumble and fall. Should we need reminding, it is the rabbis who rule over Yehudim and Jerusalem. Today they're even protesting, not wanting to be part of the draft to protect Israel, but instead to be parasites and spend all day wallowing in rabbinical manure. Therefore, listen to the word of Yahweh, you braggarts using derisive language to rule over the people for your benefit in Jerusalem. Jerusalem 28:14. Listen to the word of Yahweh, not of rabbis, not of even of Hashem, not of G-D. Listen to the word of Yahweh, you braggarts, with your derisive language, all seeking to rule over the people, all for your financial benefit, especially in Jerusalem. Indeed, you have said, we have made a covenant with the dead. Huh, yeah, you have. You go off and you do your pilgrimages to the tombs of dead rabbis. You honor dead rabbis as if they were gods. You've made a covenant with the dead, as opposed to accepting the one and only covenant from the one and only living God. And so, in the company of Sheol, we will act upon this agreement received from the writers long ago. Well, that would be an honest confession, at least. Therefore, during the overwhelming chastisement, it will pass through. It's not going to affect us. No, because we have arranged for our lies and deceptions and delusions, and we have our refuge in these false claims, and upon this dishonest witness, we will hide and conceal ourselves. One of the things I learned, this was Yeshaya 28:15. One of the things I learned as I was transitioning from being religious to being an agnostic and then to this position where I now speak for Yahweh is that without exception, every religious and political leader that I met, and they go all the way from the single most recognized and popular religious leaders in the world and also political leaders on down. Everyone without exception. They knew what they were saying was untrue. I remember a conversation, and it may date me here. Jerry Falwell was the first televangelist. He was so popular. He was on the cover of Time magazine a number of times. He's the man who was most responsible for getting Ronald Reagan elected with his moral majority. The old time gospel hour was his thing. There was a time in my life that I was very close to Jerry, probably closer to him than anybody. And during that time, I was writing Tea with Terrorists and then Prophet of Doom, which has become Goddamn Religion. And I recall a day I'd asked Jerry for a very long lunch. I anticipated it was going to be 5 or 6 hours. And I had come in with a white paper, about 12 pages long, of evidences that were irrefutable against the religion of Christianity, which he was preaching. And I asked Jerry, I said, I want you to bring your top Hebrew scholars, your top Old Testament scholars, because you have a university, Liberty University was his. I want you to bring them all to lunch because I want to go through this and I want to hear their response. And I went through it all. There was no Jesus Christ. Yahweh was God's name. The Shabbat has not been replaced with Sunday. Yahweh has 7 annual invitations and they do not include Christmas and Easter. On and on it goes. There never was a Christian cross as it's depicted. There is no Trinity. The Christian New Testament contradicts Yahweh's testimony, so it cannot be true. Paul admitted that he was demon possessed. On and on it goes. So I went through it all. And the Hebrew scholars were just silenced. All of them. And at the end of this 5-6 hour extended time, Jerry Falwell looked me in the eye and he said, everything you have said is true. But if I were to say these things, the people who fill the pews of my church would not attend. They would not provide their donations. And the letters which arrive daily with checks that support my university would not exist either. And if you continue to share these things, they will label you a kook. That was my last time with Jerry Falwell. But he, like every senior religious leader that I got to know along the way, and every political leader, knew the truth, just as this reads. They're just so enmeshed in the process. They benefit so much from the lie. They have no interest in exposing it. They have no interest in sharing with you what they know to be true. And it is with this that I will leave you with the recognition that Yahweh speaks of political and religious leaders as those with false claims, providing a dishonest witness, hiding behind their delusions, all for selfish reasons. And that is in contrast to Yahweh providing one who is right about him, so that you might know his name and might capitalize on all that he is offering by accepting what he is asking in return. I am Craig Wynn. I am the one of whom Yahweh spoke. And this has been the Yahweh Blog.